It's This Week in Bourbon, where the show must go on. And here's your headlines for September 2nd, 2022. Denny Potter and Jane Bowie both leave Maker's Mark at the same exact time. Blue Run Spirits will invest almost $51 million into building a new 35,000 square foot distillery in Georgetown, Kentucky. And Russell's Reserve has announced the debut of Russell's Reserve Single Rickhouse. But before we get started, here's a quick word from our partners.
And they're off for another Gift 270 2020 Unicorn Raffle. Your $20 ticket gives you not one, but two chances to win from our lineup of 20 Woodford Reserve treasures, including the grand prize, the rarest unicorn yet, the Woodford Reserve Kentucky Derby 150 Baccarat Edition. Only 150 bottles were made and is just like the one the Derby winning owner receives. Quit horsing around and get your $20 tickets now at give270.org. Charitable gaming license ORG 000-2703.
From their bar to yours, Chad and Sarah of the popular YouTube channel It's Bourbon Night bring you their favorite at-home old-fashioned mix with the new Elemental Elixirs Golden Hour Syrup. It's a custom-made syrup with notes of bold black tea, warm spices, and orange zest. All you need is your favorite whiskey and ice. No bitters needed. One bottle makes 16 drinks, so that's only $1 cocktail before you add your own whiskey. They can also be enjoyed in other cocktails or spirits, mocktails, coffee, tea, and anything you can think of. It's crafted locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and you can get your bottle now at whiskeyambitions.com. Ed Bly and Rising Tide Spirits are back again with a new release of Old Stubborn Bourbon. And this release of Old Stubborn is a premium hand marriage of 10, 11, and 12-year cask strength, barely filtered pot still bourbon. It comes in at a staggering 123.8 proof. And the flavoring grain for this one, which the last one was wheated, but this time it's now rye. Rich, sweet, and bold with a long finish that's sure to be another eye-opener. You can order online at Sealbox or thebourbonconcierge.com, and you can even purchase in person at Revival Vintage Spirits and even now with very few select stores in Kentucky. You can get it now while you can, but be sure to do it because it's not going to last long. Hey, everybody. Welcome officially to Bourbon Heritage Month. We're kicking off September, and it's happening. I didn't think we were gonna make it this year, but we're here.
What'd you think? World was gonna end?
I wasn't paying attention to the Aztec calendar, but it could have. I'm sure we were gonna make it.
Some days it feels
yeah,
like
exactly.
It.
I mean, every week we're recording this, and we're like, oh gosh, how much more news can we really take? And apparently, there's still more news to be able to talk about.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's just begun. But, yeah, we went from recording in person to now across the country,
yeah.
You know, thousands of miles away. So
coming to you live from San Francisco this week is Kenny. Well, coming to you recorded, I guess that's the best way to do it. But, yeah, like I said, the show must go on. It was one of those things. I'm actually out here for my company's big conference. Got done with, I had 5 speaking sessions this week. So I'm almost done with speaking. I'm going to have to go and just, you know, have some throat lozenges after this to just kind of like get back to normal after maybe a hot toddy. I haven't had any straight bourbon this week, but I tell you what, San Francisco has got it on point with when it comes to bars and whiskey bars and cocktail bars and everything like that. I've been thoroughly enjoying my stay here.
Yeah, same for.
I mean, if you get over all the tweakers night. And the you know the needles and on the ground and stuff like that, after you get through there, or you go a little bit outside of like where I'm at, and like on Powell Street, the real kind of like downtown tourist area, you get outside of that, then it's much better.
Yeah, I only did like I think we did San Francisco for like 2 nights, and I was like, I'm good. take me back to Wine Range, Ryan Klein.
Oh man.
But yeah, no, like, it was good. There's a lot of good food.
I'll be your Sherpa next
time. A lot
of
cool art and yeah. I guess I did go to a Giants game. That was awesome, you know. And I was looking for like a hot dog and you know basic baseball food. And they're like, no, but we have a lobster roll, and it was amazing. And Parmesan fries that were outstanding. But Sanford it was cool, but I don't know. It's not anything against San Francisco. I'm just not a big city person. Yeah,
we know. You love the foliage.
Chattanooga is like my size. Like, that's too big for me.
That's your jam. So. I did hear a wild stat that because you said you went to a Giants game, that there is an insane amount of jackets that are purchased at a Giants game because people go to the game and don't realize how cold it gets at night. And it's just like a freaking wind tunnel through there.
That's what I'm not trying to pack for going to Napa and then San Francisco is like, you need four seasons all. It's like, you got a winter coat, you got shorts, you got, I was amazed too at how cold that bay fog is. It's like, you're like, oh, it's going to be 60 today, I'll be fine. And, you know, next thing you're like, oh my God, I'm going to North Face and get a parka.
I mean, it is true because it gets cold. And then as soon as you step in the sun, you start sweating. It's all over the place. But let's go ahead. We'll start with some news. And this isn't even bourbon news. I saw this and I said, well, I'm sure there's some of the beer drinkers out there and there's some people that love contests. So might as well just go ahead and talk about it. So Modelo, they're the official beer sponsor of college football playoffs, and they're recognizing the full-time commitment that it takes and the fighting spirit to be a college football fan. And so they are now going to partner and actually celebrating college football fans by giving them the chance to prove that they are actually a fan by giving them a full-time salary of $100,000 plus a trip to the College Football National Championship in Los Angeles in January of 2023 in the Modelo Full-Time Fan Contest. So one contest, first prize winner will also win a trip to the National Championship game, and Modelo is offering instant game day prizes to fans all season long in the Modelo Full-Time Fan Instant Win Game Sweepstakes. Modelo is partnering with college football legend and ESPN analyst Desmond Howard again this season to determine which fan has the most fighting spirit. At the College Football or CFP National Championship, Howard will award the winning fan their quote-unquote salary prize and a college football experience only Modelo can provide. To win the salary prize, college football fans must also prove to Modelo and Desmond Howard why they should be the grand prize full-time fan winner through a photo and a 200-word essay submission. No purchase is necessary to enter the contest. It's open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states plus D.C., 21 or older, and no alcohol is awarded with the prizes. But for complete details, you can go to modelousa.com/pages/collegefootball.
Yeah, Cecil's not applying for that.
200-word essay is too much.
I mean, I want to enjoy my football. I don't want to be like a full-time fan. I just want to. It's funny that Modelo is sponsoring, because like, hell, half the college schools don't even allow alcohol on campus.
Well, it's that, but I guess you're right, because you look at all the advertisements, especially for football time, it's football season. What, Budweiser didn't renew the contract or something like that for NFL? And so now Miller and all these other people can start advertising during NFL games or something like that. At least that's what I heard. I can't remember.
Yeah, but this is college,
right?
This is
a random fact that I just remembered.
I'd love to hear these essays. I spend 17 hours a day on message boards, and I call into the fan radio show, and
it's true.
I don't sleep.
There's some crazies out there that love it, but we'll keep going. And while we're doing this, we might as well just stay out of the bourbon realm, and let's go ahead and jump into marijuana. So cannabis, it's becoming more commonly used in various markets across the U.S. to treat a variety of illnesses, including neurological disorders, epilepsy, cancer, and pain management. And cannabis consumption has also been fully legalized for recreational use in 19 U.S. states, and the drug is gaining traction within the health-conscious communities. But demand for cannabis drinks is predicted to rise as a result of legalization of recreational or medicinal versions. So the global cannabis drinks market is set to grow by a value of $8.3 billion in 2032, with a compound annual growth rate of around 37.5%, and that's according to Future Market Insights. And I only add this because of cannabis drinks. I don't know if it'll lead into bourbon, but I'm sure it will at some point.
Yeah, I know the Coors, they're like heavily investing in the cannabis drinks. I'm just
Constellation made an acquisition of both a bourbon company and a cannabis company. So
I guess if you could get, but this is just cannabis drinks without alcohol, right?
So far.
Or is this, right?
People will push the
alcohol. That's what would make me nervous is with the alcohol and cannabis. Not that I'm not saying I'm against it, but like, let's figure the dosage out. And if the standard is WANA, you know, they really dial in their dosage. So let's see if, you know, they can do it with the cannabis drinks also, you know, because I could just see people being like, oh, there's you know, say a whole drink has a, you know, 100 milligrams in it, and the next thing, you know, somebody chugs it accidentally.
100
like,
milligrams?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You're in for a wild ride, my friend.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah.
Crying in the corner.
Yeah, sitting Indian style in the hallway, calling your mom.
All right, let's actually get into bourbon now. People are probably like, that's enough random news. Let's actually talk about some bourbon. And there is an exciting program that will be launching at the Fraser History Museum. Spun on my words, been talking too much this week. And that's going to allow a limited number of consumers to participate in their exclusive, invitation-only, online bourbon subscription membership. And that's going to be offering exclusive bottlings and expressions from the greatest names in American whiskey. It's called Bourbon Limited, and it works like this. So every 2 to 3 months, members will have the opportunity to purchase a bottle of limited edition offerings from the nation's best whiskey companies and have them delivered to your door. It says only 5,000 bottles are being produced by partner distilleries, but there's 5,000 I heard in here and otherwhere, so I don't know if the numbers all add up, but this is what it said. Now, these exceptional statements of each distiller's art will not be available anywhere else, and each shipment will be a distinct one, or sorry, will be distinct from the previous one, and all of them will be produced in very small quantities, making them sought after for both the rarity and their taste. The process is simple, as the whiskey is special. Members will provide a credit card and address details upon joining, and shortly before each shipment is sent, they will receive a confirmation email. All details will be handled seamlessly and invisibly. It's never been easier for aficionados to get their hands on the whiskey everybody else was talking about. So this members-only club will serve as a showcase for all the things that make bourbon so unique and uniquely American. It will provide participants with a wealth of inside information and the stories that bourbon lovers love to share with their friends. And every now and then, members can expect a little something extra in appreciation for their support. Only 5,000 memberships will be available, and beginning on September 8th, bourbon fans will be able to reserve their spots by going to bourbon.limited. That is the domain name, bourbon.limited, and provide a credit card number, email, and mailing address. With each release, you'll get an update with your next unique bottle sold exclusively to you by the curated and participating distillers and details about your shipment as it is being prepared. Members can cancel anytime with no obligation, although they'll give up their place on being in the member list.
Should say which distilleries are partnering with, or are you just kind of...
It's kind of up in the air right now.
A Flaviard thing where you just... or is it Flaviard where you pay and they just send you like random...
Flaviar does some things with like samples, but I think you can also upgrade your membership to get bottles every month or every other month. Yeah, it is. It's just another subscription service, but I would say that the one thing you've got going when it comes to the Fraser History Museum is that they're a part of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. They're the first stop of it, so sure. They've probably got some good connections to some of the major distilleries, and I would assume that you're probably going to get some one-off sort of things that'll only be available and coming from some of the majors.
Because with 5,000, then that kind of takes out barrel picks.
Oh yeah, that's a lot. I mean, 5,000 members, it feels like a lot, and 5,000 bottles per release, that feels like a lot too. So that's honestly that hell, feels like a
we'll partner yeah, with was, we'll do a
yeah you know, like well how many barrels you want we'll go ahead and sell it to you. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're going to have their own sort of Amazon warehouse of shipping and receiving, because that's a lot of packages to go out.
Yeah, and I guess it didn't get into like no ship states or this or that or
yeah. I'm I mean,
sure that's all on
I account. I am going to assume that either they are following the Kentucky law where they can only have I think like 8 reciprocal states right now, or they are going to go and, you know, pull the Blake and the Bourbon Outfitter route and just run it through DC somewhere and get around that. But who knows? I'd be interested to kind of see it. We got invited to go to a sort of a press release for it next week, but I'll be too busy and won't be able to make it. But it'd be interesting to know more about it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, sounds cool.
So our first kind of big headline, and I know I was pretty shocked to get this email, and so was the roundtable and kind of our back end Twitter discussion. So this was coming directly from Rob Samuels over at Maker's Mark. And he said that we have been incredibly fortunate over the years to have key individuals join our Maker's Mark family who have been a tremendous custodians of this legacy. And with people like Denny Potter, their general manager and master distiller, and Jane Bowie, their head of innovation and blending. So just like our founders, Denny and Jane, they also have an entrepreneurial itch that they have expressed desire to blaze their own trails in the bourbon industry with a new venture. While Denny and Jane will depart with our utmost thanks on September 2nd, today, there's their final day. So, guys, if you're at Maker's Mark today, make sure you shake hands with them because you won't see them there anymore sporting the red letters. But they will always be members of the Maker's Mark family, and I simply can't thank Denny and Jane enough for the tremendous impact that they have had on Maker's Mark around the world. I will be announcing their successors in due course, and in the meantime, we will continue to create the highest quality bourbon and pursue an exciting future for this great brand.
I like how they threw Pursuit in there. Is that, no, I'm kidding.
I didn't even catch that. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, this was a big surprise. And I was getting texts from a lot of friends in Bardstown, you know, who, because I got a lot of friends and family that work at Makers and work at Heaven Hill and this and that. And they're like, can you believe this? You know, and like, who do you think they'll hire next? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I can't believe it, really. I can and I can't. It's Makers will be okay. Denny's obviously a fantastic master distiller, and Heaven Hill's, you know, done fine without him, but he's awesome guy too, and he'll be successful in whatever he does. Jane is obviously a fantastic blender and really has elevated, you know, that kind of helping Makers pivot from being just Makers and really elevated the RCs or
yeah,
whatever.
All the I get those the codes. Wood finishing stave series or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it too. You know, the Blue Run, and then you got other news of distilleries and they're going to start their own another brand. And it's like, all right. It's starting to get, it was already crowded, starting to get even more crowded, and, but with even more serious players. So it's definitely interesting. I don't know how to like process it.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, all the power to him. I can't wait to kind of hear what is going to be next. And I'm almost interested to hear more about where they're getting their funding and how they're doing.
Actually,
it.
Should we break the news?
You want to break some news?
Yeah. We're starting a distillery.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
And I've been booted and Jane Bowie is taking over.
Yeah. There we go. I love that. Sorry, everyone. This is the last time you're going to hear from Ryan for a while.
I got booted.
I'd be interested to kind of see what they're going to do and whether they're going to be going with some people that already have the investment in the pockets and the barrels, or whether they're going to try to be like us and they're going to go and try to crowd raise, fundraise, and buy barrels on the open market and figure out what they can do with it. I figure at this point they've probably got a lot of good connections that maybe they don't have to go to the open market, and they probably have some barrels stocked away from somebody that's just been holding on, and they'll be able to come out with some crazy 10-year-old stuff on the first go. We'll be like, son of a bitch, like we never had this opportunity, but they might have some good connections.
I mean, the rumor is there's a distillery that's either existed or is going to exist with them. You know, it's like not just going to be like a source thing. Like, I don't know. That's just rumblings in Bardstown or whatever, but it's, take that with a grain of salt, okay. You know.
Well, we'll find out soon enough then. Is it one of these secret distilleries that have been contracting for a while and now all of a sudden they're going to come out of the shadows? Is that what you think it is?
Probably. I don't know. This whiskey, it's getting wild, man.
Does it have three letters?
There's, yeah, exactly.
All right. I think we dropped enough hints of things that people can probably go and figure out themselves. Well,
yep.
All right. So Denny and Jane, they're leaving. They're starting their own brand. They're going to start their own thing. Who knows if it's going to be a distillery, if they're just going to be some NDPs. But there's also another distillery that's going to be opening very, very soon. And that's Fresh Bourbon Distilling Company. And they're announcing their upcoming opening of their bourbon and cocktail tasting experience. They'll be located on East Main Street in Lexington, Kentucky. So a ribbon cutting ceremony with Governor Andy Beshear and Sean and Tia Edwards, the founders of Fresh Bourbon, will be held at the Tasting Room on today, Friday, September 2nd at 1 p.m. The Fresh Bourbon Tasting Room brings a premium and sophisticated bourbon and cocktail experience tailored to Kentucky bourbon tourists. The location in central downtown Lexington is walkable from all major downtown hotels, and it's a first for bourbon tourism of destination in the city. Tasting Room guests will be able to experience a guided bourbon tasting and interactive plus customized mixology sessions led by highly trained mixologists, as well as have the opportunity to purchase unique fashions and lifestyle products selected by Tia Edwards. The tasting room interior is a display of modern luxury with marble floors, porcelain tile, and chandeliers. With also, it has imported African Kawazinga wood paneling. I'm pretty sure I screwed that one up, but it's all designed to reflect and celebrate the elegance, sophistication, and glamour of a modern bourbon and cocktail lifestyle. I've said life cycle 10 times this week because that's what the product I work on is, but
software.
So the focus is on the drinker that contrasts against the manufacturing plant experiences presented at many bourbon distilleries. So Fresh Bourbon Distillery Company, they were actually founded back in 2017 and launched its bourbon in 2020. And that was produced in partnership with Hartfield & Company Distillery in Paris, Kentucky. And Fresh Bourbon uses a unique four-grain recipe incorporating honey malt, which is a they say is a very rarely used grain in distilling. The bourbon is distilled in pre-prohibition era style in a copper pot still and is matured in a mix of barrel sizes from 6 gallons that are called nano barrels into traditional 53-gallon barrels with varying maturation times. Tickets for the tasting room experience will be available at freshbourbon.com when it opens to the public.
What was the name of the distillery you said in Paris?
Hartfield & Company.
Hartfield.
Have you heard of them? Before, yes. There's small, okay. I mean, dude, small copper pot still, nothing massive, not big operation or anything like that.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Well, this is cool. Yeah. Fresh bourbon. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen it or
yeah,
tried
you have. We got a sample of it a long time ago, back when it was like their 1 year or 2 year product. And to be fair, I could nose it and go, I'm not going to drink this. Yeah. I'm assuming that at this point, if they were able to open up a distillery or open up a visitor experience, I'm assuming the whiskey's got better by then, because you can't open up a bourbon experience and just have really terrible tasting whiskey. Well, maybe you can and people just don't know any better, but at some point,
well, if you're doing cocktails,
yeah, there you go. Hide it all in a cocktail. Smart move.
Said you get to do mixology and stuff, but
don't drink it neat. No, we're going to make sure we mix this before you drink it.
Maybe they stole our cocktail idea.
Yeah, we still need to, work on that one.
But no, congratulations to them. That's a huge accomplishment and exciting stuff for the brand. So we'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, next time I'm in Lexington for a UK football game, I'll have to stop on by. Looking forward to it. So if we want to get into the financials a little bit here, is that Brown-Forman, they've reported financial results for its first quarter of fiscal 23, with a reported net sales increasing 11% to $1 billion. That's with a B with my finger in my mouth, like Dr. Evil there. And that's up 17% compared to the same prior year period. So in the quarter, reported operating income increased 19% to $343 million, and diluted earnings per share increased 30% to 52 cents. The Jack Daniel's family of brands delivered double-digit reported net sales growth of 11%, and premium bourbons, propelled by Woodford Reserve and Old Forester, delivered 35% reported net sales growth, driven by higher volumes in the United States. Also, an estimated increase in distributor inventories positively impacted Woodford Reserve's and Old Forester's reported net sales. There was a lot more in there, but I said that was probably all we care about to talk about on here.
Yeah, it's. I saw that. I got that email as well, I'm sure, because we're on the same
info at Bourbon
Pursuit or whatever. Yeah, it's fascinating that Woodford's still growing at 35%. That's insane to me, but, you know, it just shows you that bourbon is still growing domestically like gangbusters. And Jack Daniels is probably, they probably finally got glass, and so they were able to get sales back up, you know. And I think I read too that RTDs were, the Jack Daniels RTDs were really
popping,
helping them.
The other thing that was also in there, yes, they have also increased their sales, but I remember they also read that they have increased their marketing spend by 23% too. You know, it all evens out at the end of the day. You spend more in marketing, you make more sales, but maybe it doesn't even out. Maybe you make more money. I don't know.
I know nobody.
We gotta figure that one out.
It's so funny. Everybody's like, I think last week it was like, whatever, Uncle Near's like fastest growing company to this many case sales, and I want to be like, yes, are you in the black or red? That's what I care about, is profit margins. And what is there any margin left at the end? And probably a similar case here, and I'm sure there is.
You love your
these big
like,
companies.
I love the
man,
spreadsheets. You love your P&Ls.
I do love the P&Ls. I like P&Ls. I like being profitable. I don't like being I don't like being in the red. It's not. I don't like the valleys.
Yeah. Well, You know, I'd be curious to see what Buffalo Trace is when they talk about, you know, where they are in their journey too, because they came out with another press release this week, which it's not really news because it's just the same news, but they're just reinforcing it a little bit. But that's okay because everybody loves to talk about everything Buffalo Trace. And when I say being in the black or the red, is because they are spending $1.2 billion over the next few years to be able to expand. And so this is kind of what they said, is that they are on track to produce more bourbon than ever as progress on its expansion project continues. So 9 years ago, Buffalo Trace Distillery began to meet growing consumer demand for its products. And to the date, those efforts have resulted in an increase in whiskey making at the distillery of around 50%. In the coming years, that number is projected to double with the completion of Buffalo Trace's distillery's additional stillhouse. The $1.2 billion expansion encompasses all of the operations at Buffalo Trace Distillery, starting with a new distribution center and bottling operation in 2015 and 2019. More recently, the distillery added 14 new barrel warehouses, 12 fermenters, additional cookers, a new cooling system, and tripled the size of its visitor center. In 2022, Buffalo Trace's additional dry house, hammer mill, and additional still house and wastewater treatment plant have been constructed and will be operational by the end of this year. The newly constructed still house will begin operating in December 2022, and it allows Buffalo Trace to double its production. The second still house is located just adjacent to Buffalo Trace's existing still house and contains a duplicate still of Buffalo Trace's existing still. It stands 40 feet tall and has the capacity of 60,000 gallons a day. In addition to increased production, the expansion has added 200 production-focused distillery jobs at Buffalo Trace over the past 4 years. And with the continued capacity increases, there will be up to 50 more jobs in the next few years as well.
I feel like they've been spending $1 billion a year for like the past 5 years.
That's how you stay in the news, is with the B's, not the M's. You stay with the B's and people keep talking about it.
Yeah, it's these numbers are just crazy. It's like, but yeah, I think I was telling you the other day, you look at when bourbon peaked in 1970, and I think it sold like 36 million 9-liter cases, which are 12 packs. And last year, bourbon sold like 27 million 9-liter cases, and the population in 1970 was 200 million, and the population now is 330 million. So I'm sure you see that and you're like, okay,
there's still a lot more room to grow.
We still got room to grow. Yeah.
But how much more room? I mean,
too, I was reading about.
Quick question for you. I mean, like, how much more room? Like, we have, it's hard. It's, well, I don't know. People are all like, oh, there's a bourbon shortage. You go to your liquor store, there's not a bourbon shortage. There's plenty of bourbon on the shelves. It's just the stuff.
Well,
it's just the stuff people are chasing after, you know, the Wellers and all that kind of crap. Of course, people are chasing after, you can't find them or anything like that. But there's plenty of bourbon on the shelves. I just, it's kind of a misnomer, but maybe I'm just overthinking it.
Okay. That you're just worried about the whiskey geeks, whereas the common, gosh, I gotta get a better name.
Call people the common
everyday drinker. Yeah,
the common folk.
Yeah. You know, with the people that drink are gonna drink Evan Williams and Buffalo Trace, or, you know, Maker's Mark or this or that. You know, there's no shortage of that, but there's probably in other parts of the country there are. I don't know.
And I guess we're not even considering the whole international market when we know that most of these big producers are only putting out, you know, 5 to 8% of their total output is going to international markets.
Yeah, if you look at charts of like the biggest whiskey drinking countries in the world, like India is like 100x, like what US is like number two, I think. And India is like 100x times whiskey. Now it's all scotch, but like, you think about that. If you just like convert,
just
like
you,
I think Max Shapiro said, if you convert like one out of every 20 scotch drinkers in India, it'd like wipe out all of the production in Kentucky right now or something.
So we'll just make sure just a little bit of that happens. We don't need all of it to get wiped out, but they'll just keep building more warehouses. That's all it's going to do. Just more expansion. Well,
that's right.
Speaking of expansion, it's our last news topic here, and that's all about Blue Run Spirits. They're going to invest almost $51 million into building a new 35,000 square foot distillery in Georgetown, Kentucky. So Blue Run Spirits will be the first distillery in Scott County in over 50 years. And the almost $51 million investment will include a 20,000 square foot rickhouse and will become the company's first vertically integrated distilling operation and future headquarters. The funding will be used to cover the site acquisition costs, construction, and to acquire the distilling equipment. Furthermore, the investment will also create around 45 full-time jobs for local people, spanning roles from operations to administrative positions. But in 2022, the company forecasts that it will quintuple its 2021 volume to reach 50,000 4.5-liter cases, which is about 50,000 six-packs. And by 2023, this is expected to increase to around 85,000 to 100,000 cases. By value, that year's sales projections are expected to hit around $15
million. Wow. Sorry, I was still looking at India. what was the case volume last time on this week in bourbon?
You're like, I'm still on this India thing.
Was it India?
Yeah, it was. Because we went through all the different scotches that they drink and stuff like that. And we looked at the case volumes and we said like this one's like way up here. And I predicted
I predicted
it would be half, but you know, it was more than half.
Well, this is a different statistic.
Okay, here we go.
Really quickly, sorry, Blue. We'll get to you, Blue Run. So India consumed 1.5 billion liters of whiskey. This is in 2014, whereas the U.S., which is in second, is 462 million liters. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a huge like amount that India is consuming compared to the rest of the world.
We'll keep coming with the facts next time.
That's almost... Dude, that's combined. So that's the U.S., France, Japan, the United Kingdom, Spain, Brazil, and South Africa combined are still less than what India drinks in 1 year.
Okay.
And whiskey.
All right. Well, we know.
But sorry.
That's okay. We know the top drinking country. So if that comes on Jeopardy now, everybody is going to know that fact.
Yep. All right. Case volumes at Blue Run. I've been wanting to hear this.
So 2021, they did 50,000 six packs. In 2023, it's expected to get, or should I say, in 2022, they're going to reach 50,000 six packs. In 2023, it's going to be somewhere between 85 to 100,000.
Gotcha. And that's, so, yeah, and that's on source stuff. And then,
well, contract distilled. But contract distilled.
Well, yeah, contract distilled. Sorry. I mean, I don't. Obviously, we contract still, but still considered it's, source.
I know. We should probably have a debate about that one day, whether that's still considered sourcing or not.
That's a good topic for another time. But yeah, this is another one that you're like excited about, but you're kind of like, okay, not scratching your head, but you're just like, okay, and another big player in the market is going to be laying down a F ton of whiskey. And you're like, okay, can the market support it? And I think it will, but you know, and obviously they're smart dudes and they're great guys and girls. I'm sure they have girls involved too, but yeah, I mean, it's everybody wants to use the G word, the glut, you know, and I'm like trying not to get sucked into it. Gosh, this week is really just kind of like, it's like, couldn't they spread these announcements out a little bit?
At least a month or two. Yeah. Let me forget about the last one.
And then the three-letter ones coming, you know, that's going to be the biggest of them all. And we can't even, don't even know what that's going to be about, so.
Very true. Yeah. I don't know.
But congratulations, Em. It's a huge feat. I mean, to 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they were probably doing about the same amount of volume we were, and to multiply it to where they are today is incredible.
Yeah, and it is good. I mean, they had the foresight to be able to put down stuff about 3.5-4 years before we did, and so they were able to scale a lot quicker. And that it's like everything else in this business. You know, you get a little bit of luck and persistence. You know, the persistence of them to continually keep trying to, you know, find a different angle to reach bourbon consumers, find a different demographic, everything like that. But you know, it's also a bit of luck. They won best bourbon at San Francisco, which really put them on the map. They've got, you know, they created a packaging that by luck just resonated with so many people. And it's just a combination of all that. And that's really just where I see how a lot of people really find success at the end of the day. And I don't think this is going to be another, it's going to be a repeat of that. And I'm excited to kind of see, you know, when this breaks ground, you know, being in, I thought the only thing that was a little bit different, I was like, oh, Georgetown, it's going to be a little bit out of the way. Not,
but I think some of their founders are from there.
Okay, I'm just saying. If you want the visitor, you want a lot of foot traffic. It's like when you go to Bullet in, where is it at? In Shelbyville. Yeah, like it's the only thing there, and therefore they don't really get the foot traffic that you're going to see in Bardstown or Louisville or, heck, even Frankfurt with having three distilleries that are somewhat close to each other.
Yeah, Georgetown's pretty close to Lexington, though. It's, you know, right there on 64. It's not too far.
So I guess you could go to Fresh Bourbon and then go to Blue Run.
That's right. to the urban Lexington Bourbon
Trail.
Yeah,
because you got that.
Plus Georgetown.
Downtown, you got that. You got James E. Pepper. There's the Town & Branch. What's the overarching company? But that's there as well. Alltech. Thank you. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. So,
yeah, and Woodford's not too far away from there. And Castle and Key, you know, just right up the 64 all exit. Right.
Well,
you know,
maybe I didn't look at my map recently, but I figured I was like, I don't know where that Georgetown is, but
they have a huge American flag there, I think. One of the biggest in the country, I think.
There you go. Another random fact that I didn't
know. I have no idea why. But so do you think Jim will be the distilling there? Well,
that's a great question. I was kind of thinking that myself. What's Mr. Rutledge going to be doing? Because, you know, he tried to get a distillery up and running quite a while ago. He has been their, what do you say, kind of master distiller in contract.
Is the Indiegogo funding this distillery?
Yeah, you get a challenge coin with it. I don't know. I'd be interested to kind of see if Jim will be at the helm, or if not, they'll be kind of taking a page out of, or, you know, a page out of the book of some other people, where like New Riff, where they just have a distilling team instead of having one person that's a master distiller. But I don't know. They're not what you would call a very traditional type of whiskey company. So they might go that route instead of appointing somebody as just the master distiller. But I would highly doubt that they wouldn't have Jim just come in there at some point and just make sure that, you know, he sets everything up, dots all the I's, crosses all the T's, and he's going to be the one that kind of gets them moving down the right direction and everything like that.
Yeah, it'd be crazy if Denny and Jane next week are like,
we're going to Blue Run.
We'll be at Blue Run.
Yeah, that would brand. Be wild to actually hear that. All right.
That would make me feel better, because it'd be in one less brand out there trying to, you know, make it. So, but no, they'll be successful. They've already been successful, and I'm sure they see the future, and they're so popular, you know, out in the West Coast, you know, that butterfly really sings, you know, out there and everywhere. A lot of people love the whiskey's good and the packaging's great, you know, so I'm excited.
All comes together. All right, let's go ahead. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with some bourbon release news. If you're anything like me, then you can't get enough about bourbon. And that's why I'm a subscriber to Bourbon Plus magazine. Bourbon Plus is a quarterly publication that tells the stories from the heart of bourbon. The farmers who grow the grain, the distillers who labor over the process, and the people, like you and me, who raise their glasses to celebrate it all. Subscribe to Bourbon Plus magazine today at bourbonplus.com, that's PLUS.com, and use code PURSUIT at checkout for $5 off your subscription. Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify's point of sale is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns, from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's point-of-sale Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bourbon, all lowercase, and go to shopify.com/bourbon to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/bourbon. Hey, everybody. We're back. I know you missed us, but we're going to talk about some bourbon release news. And honestly, we don't have too much to go through. We only got like three stories, so this will be rather quick as we kind of go through here. And
in like 4 years, there's going to be like 50,000 in each episode. Yeah.
We're going to have two-parters every single week for this week in bourbon because there's going to be so many damn labels that'll be coming on the market. The guy who runs the Instagram account of Coming Whiskey just can't keep up. He's got to figure out how to automate this because there's just, it's going to be a flood of things. Yeah. The TTB is going to have to hire 40 new people to look at labels. Yeah, it's a trickle effect. So we all know Whistlepig, you know, they launched their piggyback rye not too long ago. But guess what? They're now launching a bourbon. That's right. Whistlepig is going to have their first ever bourbon. It's a 100-proof piggyback bourbon. And this release is said to showcase Whistlepig's bold approach to grain, age, and ABV with a sweeter spin. It is made with a corn, rye, barley trifecta, go figure, and includes a super high, no, they really like left a lot of the details up to the imagination in this, but it says it includes a super high corn mash bill seasoned with a dash of rye and a nod to Whistlepig's roots. The spirit has been aged in char number 3 barrels to add layers of complexity and before being bottled at 50% ABV. The Whistlepig Piggyback 100-proof bourbon whiskey will be available via e-commerce sites and in select markets starting on August 30th with a retail price of around $50. Distilled now, I was about Indiana to say, before well. You say anything, I didn't get to see a picture on the back where it says distilled in XYZ. So that is yet to be determined, but you know, a dollar to the first person who takes a picture, puts it on Instagram and just tags us that says, look, this is where it says it's distilled at.
We're going to pay heritage to our brand by continuing to to buy whiskey where we've always bought it.
I just thought it was so ridiculous to sit there and say,
they said we have a mash bill of bourbon, rye, yeah. Bourbon, like, rye, and barley, or it's corn, rye, and barley.
Like, do they think the only people that have bought anything or, you know, our whiskey drinkers, if all they do is pay attention, they're like, wait, you're telling me that a rye whiskey, that's not we have corn in this? Oh my gosh. And you add a little bit of rye just to put a nod to Whistlepig's roots? Like, I don't know. It just felt a little, I wouldn't say disingenuous, just cheesy. That's all it really is.
Sure, it's good. I got good MGP rye stocks.
Well, they don't really have those anymore.
Hell,
they were...
Well, yeah, they used to, but they built that the brand off of it.
It was doing that, and then they got a bunch of Canadian ryes for a while, too.
Which I thought were better. I should just keep doing those. I love those.
They were high ages, rye, too. A lot of them. We had some 17 years, didn't we? Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we did.
Those are good. All right, so, I don't know. You an orchestra guy?
Not really.
I didn't peg you for one, either. But the Louisville Orchestra, they are going into partnership with Woodford Reserve, and they're celebrating Bourbon Heritage Month with a gala and the release of an exclusive bourbon curated by the conductor and the music director, Teddy Abrams. Quote says, a spectacle for the senses is a full orchestral concert that includes special pairings of Woodford Reserve with assistant master distiller Elizabeth McCall. So in the quote, they say that the notes in the bourbon will be paired perfectly with the notes in the orchestral pieces, creating a sensation for the palate and the ears. That was what Abrams said So he said there will be a concert like no other in Louisville Orchestra history in a true spectacle.
Because everybody will be drunk. And they'll be like,
let me play that fiddle.
Like, it's the best damn trombone I've ever heard, my clarinet.
let me hold. I'm sorry. Hold your wand and hold and lead this thing here. All right. So the event is going to be on Friday, September 30th at Old Forester's Parisers Town Hall in Louisville. The bottles are hand numbered and signed by Abrams and McCall. Tickets are $1,000 for individuals and $1,500 for couples. It's following a dinner and an orchestral concert at Paris Town Hall, and each ticket includes a special tasting Woodford Reserve that will be paired with music compositions chosen by Abrams. Abrams and McCall will lead the group during the tasting, showing people how to use their senses to pull out flavor notes in bourbon while picking up notes from different instruments.
I'm going to start pairing Vivaldi with different... I wonder what Vivaldi... I don't know. That's the only... Yo-Yo Ma. Those are the only two, like, just because they were on like American Express commercials or something.
I'm more of a Bach guy myself.
Yeah, name one Bach.
All right, something. Never mind. I'm more of a Mozart guy myself. Canon and D.
I'm an you're an adagio for strings.
That's what it is.
Tiesto.
It's interesting.
This is hilarious. Though.
I don't know. Everybody's got to find an angle, and that's what. Don't be wrong. Fred has done things where he did music pairings with bourbon, and I still can't wrap my head around it. To think that as you're listening to something, you're pulling out different senses. I don't know. It seems odd, but just, maybe I'm just haven't been a believer because I haven't done it.
I mean, Stapleton and bourbon's no fail, but I don't really think it pulls senses. It just feels good. It just feels right.
It's just a little more vanilla when you hear that Stapleton epic song come on.
When they hit that chord, it really brings out the tannins.
Just like your quote earlier saying, yeah, it's going to be spectacle like no other because they'll all be drunk. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
They're going
to
know.
Sorry, Louisville. They're never inviting us to anything ever again. All right. So the last news article is that Russell's Reserve is announcing the debut of an all new annual limited edition collection called Russell's Reserve Single Rickhouse. So this is serving as a distinct expression of the location or the rickhouse of where the liquid is aged and then the terroir of that aging environment. And each single rickhouse bottling will feature rare liquid from a different individual rickhouse, past and present at the Wild Turkey Distillery. The series explores the often unsung contributions to specific resting places as they have on whiskey's final character, celebrating the varied nuances of whiskey aging across these different environments. The inaugural release of Russell's Reserve Single Rickhouse Camp Nelson C features liquid from only 72 barrels from the now dismantled seven-story rickhouse of Camp Nelson C. Built in 1946 and decommissioned in 2021, Camp Nelson C became a treasured rickhouse of Wild Turkey. It's situated on top of a hill and next to the Kentucky River, and the warehouse was made from timber and clad with tin to naturally control internal temperatures, with space for air to circulate and allow the barrels to breathe during the aging process. Russell's Reserve Master Distiller Eddie Russell, he selected the barrels for this special release from the center cut, also considered to be the sweet spot on floors 3 and 4 of the warehouse. It's aged over 10 years, and this limited release of non-chill-filtered bourbon is bottled at 112.4 proof and has an SRP of $250.
Oh, no, not... Now whiskey geeks are going to be pissed if they get a Camp Nelson that's not on the third or fourth floor. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
And Campari, you're welcome for this whole idea from all whiskey geeks. Like... to have this, but no, it's very cool.
It's an obvious thing that now whiskey geeks are going to go after because this is what single barrel picks have been for the longest time. You have the whole Four Roses like tier whatever, and you have the same thing with Russell's Reserve. You're chasing after a Camp Nelson or a whatever, and you just want to get your hands on it. I'm
more team Tyrone.
I'm telling you right now, I'm beyond a little floored. When I heard the SRP on this one at $250. So, if you think about it, what's a regular single barrel pick of Russell's? I don't know, 50, 65 bucks,
55,
something
60
around
bucks.
There.
We'll say
75 at the high mark. I mean, you're going to tell me that you're going to find some special barrels because this is a lot better than a single barrel pick. That you can get at, you know, well, your favorite barrel club called Bourbon Pursuit or your local store or something like that. And those are bottled at 110 proof. And this is 2.4 proof higher. I just don't see I can see why people want to go chase after it because people are crazy, but I don't see the value in it.
So it's 5 times better than your regular Russell's pick. And that's been the hard part with Russell's and all their, you know, turkey and their limited releases. Those damn Russell's picks are so good. It's only marginally better, you know, to have these limited releases. Now, I was a huge fan of the first Russell's 13. I haven't had the last two, but...
I've never had it in general.
Hell, that's only like... That's like 75 bucks, I think, for 13-year-old.
See?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's that price. That
maybe it comes in some ornate box or something and you know, it's got a whole huge packaging thing to it. I don't know. I thought for $250, I was
probably comes with a music box that you can pair, you know, different orchestra elements to elevate your senses. No,
it's going
to
open up with a voice box with Eddie yelling at you because you can't open the barrel without the hammer. You're like, come on, you wuss.
Take this hammer, boy.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. Yeah, I got yelled at by Eddie a few times. That's why I never try to muscle my way into taking the bung out of the barrel now.
Oh, I know. He brings that thing out. I start hiding behind people. I'm like, don't pick me. I don't want to hit that damn thing.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Girl, it's embarrassing trying to do that thing, just banging on that damn. I'm like, guys, get a freaking actuator, you know, the little hand drill.
Make it easy. They make tools for this now.
They can get one for, you sell one of these bottles, that's about what they cost.
There you go. Maybe we just bring our own on these barrel picks now.
I know, I used to bring my Thief, but then when COVID happened, everybody frowned upon that. So it's just been stuck in my garage.
You might be the only person who takes their own Thief on a whiskey barrel pick.
Yeah, Fletcher made me that, Heaven Hill that one day for my birthday.
Shout out. All right, well, good deal. That's all the bourbon news this week. How about it?
All right. Well, I had some interesting ones. I can't wait till next week. See what you can pair whiskey with.
Or who's going to be building the next $50 million distillery.
Maybe $200 million. Maybe $200
million. It feels like it might get crowded, but we still got a little bit of ways to find that out. And I know you've said it all the time that bourbon's the perfect product because the whiskey geeks are going to chase after it because they want to taste something different and new. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and you go to like, I mean, hell, you have a whole damn store named Total Wine, you know, across the country, and you look at, you know, the wine and how many brands there are there. So, I mean, I think we're still okay. It's just, it is a little, it is.
Well, we're
crazy.
In the thick of it, you know. And, we are, when I say we're in the thick of it, we are really in the thick of it. You know, we're, and people listening to this are the
same. Well, you're in that, I think you're in that, you know, you had those early those early brands that are doing really well, and I still think we're in the middle of it. We're not at the tail end of this, so I think we're all in good places.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed. Y'all out there, say a prayer. Fingers crossed. Light a candle, whatever it is. Let's hope that G word never comes to fruition. We'll be back next week, and the G word won't be out by then. But thanks for sticking with us. Hope you all enjoyed another great edition of This Week in Bourbon. It was funny. So I'm here at the conference, and I was telling some of my coworkers, I said, yeah, I have to go back and record a podcast. And we do this every single week about all the bourbon news. And they go, are you kidding me? There's that much bourbon news every week? They're like, tell me what's happened in the past 24 hours. And I told them the Blue Run and the Makers thing. And they're like, all right, so I guess there is a lot of news that happens.
Yeah, probably have to cut a lot of news. We don't even
talk
about.
That's true. But with that, cheers, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Toodles.